Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we're going to be covering season six episodes, just episode nine of the series finale of Downton Abbey.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of exciting. Six seasons, I think we've done really well. We do have our usual caveats and disclaimers and stuff. And those include that there's likely to be cursing, though happy cursing usually in this episode, I would imagine. I can't imagine that there would be spoilers unless we talk about the movies accidentally.
Unlikely. Actually, I might bring up the movies, so.
Okay, so that could happen. And we are also having things to drink. What are you having to drink?
I am having wild berry herbal tea.
Because it's wild.
I don't know. It just was in the cabinet.
Oh, it's
one of my favorite herbal teas. So
you have given much thought to all of your choices here.
I just like it. Can't I just like something?
You can just like things. But I'm trying to match things to episodes. And in fact, I have. So
which one of us is in college right now, Mom? What can I do?
Well, you can still think about what you're doing. Anyway, so I love the eye rolls I get off my child. So I have decided that for this episode, I think there's only one way to close out Downton Abbey, and that is with a glass of champagne.
So original.
It is, but there's a lot of champagne-related things in this episode, you would have to agree, right? Really? Really? I'm getting stressed.
I guess.
There's a wedding. There's
what,
New Year's.
Spoiler.
There's New Year's. There's
anyway,
stuff.
Keep just, come on, around the clock.
Yeah.
Let's go.
All right, what are our sections?
Our sections are Edith, Mary and Henry, Anna, Carson, Isabel, Daisy, Mosley, and Sprat. Let's do Sprat first. Danka is being a bitch, as always, and so she finds out, well, she found
I
out last
hate
episode.
Her so much!
Well, she we her. Found out last episode that she found out about him being Cassandra Jones and, like, writing the column because Edith asked him to, it's this episode. This episode feels the length of a million episodes. Sorry. In this episode, there are two, like, timelines kind of thing. There's the first timeline and then 3 months later. So in the first timeline, Sprat is approached by Edith before going up to London about how they want to expand his column into a full page. And he's like, "Ooh, that's exciting." And Danka overhears it. And then she has held it over him. Well, she has not mentioned that she knows this and has not brought it up to Violet because of time jump reasons. And we can't have it happen off screen. So Danka finally reveals it to Violet. Violet finds it very funny, and she is fine with it. She does not care. And
one
so
of these, there are that. Great lines with this, though, because Violet again is getting some great lines, and for the close of this show, I think is totally appropriate. She says she laughs hysterically first and foremost when Danka tells her, and then she's like, "Oh, I guess I should be consulting with him and not you about what to wear and this and that. Oh, this column's great, you know, that kind of thing."
Who knew we had an expert downstairs?
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's great. It is great.
It's fun. So let's also talk about Mosley. Mosley has been offered a cottage and more of a full-time position at the school. He accepts, and so he's a teacher, but he also helps out whenever the family really needs him for like a party as a footman. So that's
and
basically
that just kind of like, we'll still see each other.
Yeah, we'll stay in touch. And but she also says like the weirdest thing of like, it's not my moment, it's your moment, and well done you. I'm just kind of like, she's talking about, well, I can't keep seem to make up my mind either way, but you're this is great for you. She ends up deciding not to speak to Coyle, and this could have been solved like episodes ago, and I didn't really care.
Yeah.
But good for
yeah,
her.
But it took months and months and months for this shit. Come on,
it's ridiculous.
Anyway.
Either way, that's Mosley. Let's do Daisy next. Daisy is, well, Daisy's been weird because I don't know.
Daisy's
no,
been
started.
Fair to moderately awful. Let us be
yeah.
honest. She has been fair to moderately awful. She's been awful to Andy. She's been very
Andy's
selfish.
Been trying to flirt with her.
Right. But I mean, he's not like doing anything major. Like, oh, hey, you know, I was going to go work on Mr. Mason's farm. You want to walk down together. Is that insane? I don't
And she's
think
like,
so.
I wish I could change my hair. And then he's like, I like your hair the way it is. And she's like, what are you, an expert? And he's like, what? She's very defensive.
I love in this episode that Mrs. Patmore finally calls her on and is like, you have
Yeah.
the exact wrong taste in men. Anyone who likes you, you hate. Anyone who doesn't like you, you run after them. Like, and a part of how it comes up is that is a storyline with Thomas. She's like, I can't believe that I used to like Thomas. And Mrs. Patmore's like, yeah, you didn't have very good taste. You have zero instinct in this direction. So and she wants to change her
Oh yeah, I'm
hair.
sorry. I meant to also I'm sorry, I also meant to add a Thomas section. We'll talk about him in a minute. But yeah, keep going.
She wants to change her hair because she feels like she looks dumpy.
Well, no, but
And
even before that, she goes over to Mr. Mason's farm one day and he's all, oh my God, why Andy. He is helping fix the roof on one of, like the pigsties or something or other. And
she sees him without a shirt.
well, kind of. He has a tank top on, a wife beater. No, it's a regular t-shirt. Either way, more
She
less
sees
clothes than
muscles
usual.
on his body.
Yeah, he's cute. And so he is doing work on the roof, and she's like, "Oh, I could have walked down with you." And he's like, "I didn't want to bother you again," which is valid. Once you have been rejected once with that invitation, I would probably not try again, at least for a while.
And it's
And then
not
she's
just
like,
one. I mean, you get this feeling like she's been pushing him away for a while and he's finally just done with being treated that way. So good for
yeah,
him.
then that's fair. And then Mr. Mason is like, oh, you could do worse. And she's like, so everyone keeps saying. And I'm like, now you get it? Like, what?
Mr.
And
Mason's the
so,
only person that can, he's like the Daisy Whisperer or something.
yeah, Mrs. Padmore tries to like yell it into her, but only Mr. Mason can like whisper it into her, like, hey, maybe he's good, actually, even though this should have been plain as the nose of your face, but it's fine. And so later on in the 3 month time jump, she is, I also realized I don't have a chorus section. I suck at sections. Sorry. Either way, Daisy. She is jealous of Rose, who has come over for an unspecified reason, and she's jealous of her hair, and so she's like, I want to change my hair. And Anna has gotten this blow dryer for Lady Mary, and so she's like, I'm going to use the blow dryer and I'm going to cut my hair. And, like, the blow dryer was the problem in the first place on what happened there, but either way.
Well, part of what is funny, and she stands in front of the sink and cuts like all of her hair short. She bobs her hair basically,
Like on one
and does it
side
fast.
more than the other, it's
Yeah,
bad.
no, I have cut my hair in college when I was like your age. I cut my hair short. It was absurd. Look, you do
Why did
stuff
you
when
do
you
that to
have to,
yourself?
because I'm stupid and bored. I mean, that's part of it, is you get bored. It's like, I think I, you know, everybody else, and this was true, you did not live in the 80s, so the 80s was a thing, but having like asymmetrical hair was kind of a thing.
That reminds me of the Fleabag like thing where like
I
Claire has the
look like a pencil.
asymmetrical hair that, and she's like, I
Yes.
look like a pencil.
That is one of the best speeches ever written for television. I'm sorry.
And then Fleabag's like, Claire, it's French.
Yeah.
It's so, oh my God, watch Fleabag. I really enjoy Fleabag.
I will say this, there were things I really didn't like about the first season.
Oh,
I
sure.
and
Well, the thing
yeah,
is,
but
when the protagonist is someone who you're not supposed to like,
like
it kind of makes it difficult. But the second season's great. I prefer the second to the first season, but I'm
okay.
not to say that both of them aren't great, but I prefer the second season. But it
The,
also
yeah,
has
the, and the
Hot
speeches
Priest.
in the second season, it is so amazing. You have
It's
to
so good.
actually watch the speeches, it's so great. But in
Yeah,
any
we
case,
need to rewatch it at some point,
yeah,
at least the
that's
second season.
hilarious. That's
Okay,
hilarious.
not off
So,
topic. Daisy. So Daisy does the wrong thing and she ruins her hair, and
she tries to
literally
blow
Andy
dry it
comes.
and doesn't know what the fuck she's doing.
Yeah, and I'm like, again, the blow dryer isn't the problem. That wasn't the styling tool that you had an issue with. Well, you kind of
Was
did,
the
but
cutting
either
your hair
way.
off.
So
Yeah.
Andy comes in after like she reveals her hair, and he kind of starts like, he's like, what have
Like,
you done? And then he starts laughing, and then she kind of runs off, which in fairness he shouldn't have laughed, but I would have. But like,
I would have
it's
too. I would have too.
but like Mrs. Padmore's like, why did you laugh at her? It's for you that she's done this. And he's like, she doesn't care a lick about me. And she's like, you don't know women at all. And I'm just like, okay, that's not Andy's fault. It's Andy's
No,
fault for
Mrs.
laughing.
Patmore should not have intervened on that. He was completely right, and she just needs to get her shit together.
And once
So,
Anna fixes the hair, Andy helps her like pick up the cloth, and he says that she looks like Clara Bow and all that stuff. He says all the right things, and then he's like, listen, I think that we have kind of grown apart. I kind of want to try to do something with you, if you know what I mean. And she's
wink, wink, nudge, nudge, saying,
yeah, and then he takes a lock of her hair. I would like to go on a quick tangent about why that's so weird. No matter what century you're from, don't take a lock of someone's hair. It is the weirdest shit. It's like in Sense and Sensibility when Willoughby's just like, hey, I'm just gonna take a lock of your hair, snip snip, and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why are you doing that?
That
and
was then a he, thing and, back then, a remembrance.
It's weird. Take a picture. Like, yeah, draw a picture.
You can't take a picture. And oh, by the way.
No, she did a profile of him. So she would have something to remember him by. Like, she did a shadow profile. That works just fine. And back then, like, yes, you could take a picture in the 20s.
It was incredibly expensive.
Yeah, but Daisy had it done for William, and William's not using it anymore. And so I'm sorry. That was really bad.
That's anyway, really, that's listen, just fucking wrong.
I just think it's weird that he takes a lock of her hair regardless. I think that's weird in any century. Don't lock like lop off my hair. Thank you. That's it. Well, thank you for coming to my TED Talk. All right. So let's talk about Cora.
I can post this as a TikTok if you want.
I'm good. You don't even have TikTok.
It doesn't matter.
I said TED Talk.
Oh, TED Talk. Oh, I thought you said TikTok. Never mind.
No.
Anyway,
so I Cora.
Edit it. Anyway.
No, you're not editing that out. But Cora is doing overtime at the hospital. She's not there to help out at another fight. Thing and so Robert's like, oh, you're neglecting something, and Rose, who's there for an unspecified reason,
he's upset that he's getting kind of pushed to the side because she is so busy with the hospital, and mm-hmm. he's failing to acknowledge how fulfilled she is by it. And it takes Rose saying, hey, come down to the hospital with me and see what she's doing during this period of time that she's not doing these other things you think she should be doing. And mm-hmm. Robert goes with her, and she, Rose doesn't even say that's what she's doing, but of course it's what she's doing. And he sees Cora, I'm mental. he sees Cora.
This is worse than me saying Tony and Henry. Like,
no,
listen, at least I know Cora's
Cora
name.
Fielding questions from the public about the takeover of the hospital and what it will mean to them on a day-to-day basis. And she's eloquent and she's assuring and she handles it well, and there's humor and people feel very warmly toward her. And he can see that, and he realizes, you know, first of all, I've been kind of an ass. But then Rose tells him flat out, like, let me explain to you that your marriage is like a really fucking good marriage. My parents' marriage sucked, and I'm using you all as an example. Do not throw that example away by being an asshole. Got it?
Yeah.
Good.
I love Rose in this episode. She's amazing.
Yeah, she's great.
A year of marriage can really do that for you. And also, she had a baby.
Yeah, good, but we don't get to see the baby.
And did not name her after her.
No, not Susan.
But Cora. Cora's a middle name for her child. Yeah. Anyway, and of course she also names her after Rachel as well. And her first name's Victoria, Rachel, and then Cora and all that stuff. Anyway, let's talk about Thomas. Thomas gets a new job, and it's at a quiet place with just an old guy and his wife and a random girl who comes in sometimes. And so he feels very sad. It's a very isolated. It's a lot of scenes with him just looking out of a window, just feeling isolated and feels like, oh, well, this isn't the place I know.
He can be on the crowd.
Oh my God. So he feels like isolated, and this kind of goes hand in hand with Carson's section. So Carson's getting the shakes, and it just reminded me of a Blazing Saddles where he's like, but this is my shooting hand. This is my pouring hand. Yes.
Except it's both hands, sadly.
Yeah, but it's yeah, it's affected. It really does affect his right hand though, that he uses to pour. And so he is cut like by like everybody of like, oh yeah, no, you can't pour wine anymore. And he's like, it ended the careers of both of my father and my grandfather. He comes from a long line of butlers, apparently. And so he is just very upset. And at this unspecified time, he really gets upset about how he can't pour wine. And Thomas steps in, and Robert's like, hey, how about this? What if Thomas is the butler at Down Abbey, but you can still kind of oversee everything? How does that sound? And he's like, I trust him because I trained him. And so that kind of just works out well for everybody.
Because Thomas was miserable where he was, and so Thomas gets to come back and be the butler, which he always.
And let's also really quickly do Anna. Anna, she is
Aw,
very
Anna, this
pregnant.
is finally a really sweet episode for Anna.
It's so sad because, like, ever since she became happy this season, well, yeah, after all the mess, she finally became happy. And so we see less of her. So it's just kind of sad. Either way, so she's very, very pregnant. She's like 10 days from her due date when we do the time jump. And she is like minutes away. And she,
Literally.
which.
And right. So part of what's happening is that, she's feeling some
Contractions.
preliminary contractions. She's uncomfortable. She's breathing heavily. There's some things in the unspecified thing that we haven't talked about yet where you can tell that she's uncomfortable. She fixes Daisy's hair, and during the fixing of Daisy's hair, it's kind of like, yeah, no, but I have all these other things I've got to do. And she goes
I've got to put the
upstairs.
hair dryer away.
Right, I've got to put the hair dryer away. I need to go do this. I need to go that. And she goes up to Lady Mary's room to put the hair dryer away. And Lady Mary's there. She's on a break because from the unspecified thing. And she's like, "Hey, Anna, you okay?" And Anna's water breaks right there in her room. And it's like, "Oh shit, we got stuff to do." And
But
so,
Mary's just so cool and calm about it.
yeah,
She's like, oh,
she's
your
great
waters
about
have
it. It's
broken. All
great.
right. And she immediately starts unbuckling her shoes and she's like, all right, get in the bed. You can use one of my nightgowns. It's going to be fine. And then she's just like, I feel really weird about it being here. And she's like, oh, why does that matter now? This is more important. And it's great. And so she delivers the
Well, right, and
baby.
I would point out that Mary's got a related, issue as well. So, I think
We'll
she's
talk
a
about
little
that
more
in a minute.
empathetic than she normally would be.
Yeah. No, I think she'd.
Not really.
No,
Right,
I was
she
about to
is
say,
a
no, she'd be more empathetic, even regardless. But
right.
she, Anna gets her baby's born. It's a little boy. Bates is very,
Aww.
very happy. There's this moment where
Yes.
Henry goes to go get Bates, and
Yeah.
Bates is just like, what's going on? And he's like, oh, sorry. Anna's in Lady Mary's bedroom, and Dr. Clarkson's with her. And he's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And so it's so cute. And
It's
so,
adorable. It's adorable.
it's great. And so
Yeah.
he's so happy. They have a son and he's going to be apparently raised in the Downton like nursery because I guess that's what they're going to do for childcare if they're like staff,
I think
well, especially
that's
if they love
lovely.
their
I
staff.
really think that's
Oh no,
great.
I
Yeah.
love that. And it's very sweet and it's nice. So yeah, that's Anna. Let's do Mary and Henry. Since we're already around here, Mary and Henry
Yeah.
are very, very happy. Henry is thinking of giving up racing and he's trying to figure out something else to do. And him and Tom talk, and they have this whole secret thing of like, oh, well, what are we going to come up with? There's this really cute scene of them at the office with the kids, and they're just
Oh,
like
it's
playing
adorable.
around in the office, and it's so adorable. I love it so much, but.
I would point out that in the pre in the office thing, Henry admits to himself and to Mary that he is struggling because he feels like what he does, his occupation, is his identity. I mean, he just doesn't want to be this layabout guy, even though he's cute. It's just not enough for him, and he feels like it's not enough for Lady Mary. He doesn't want her to constantly have to explain, like, "Oh, my husband's cute." So
Well, yeah,
he.
he knows that Mary has a lot of stuff to do, and so he doesn't want to be the stay-at-home dad or whatever. And
Underfoot, he could, yeah.
yeah, he wants something to do, and he wants an occupation, which is very valid. And so him and Tom are trying to figure something out, and they end up surprising Mary in the time jump with their repair shop slash car
dealership
shop. Yeah, basically. And it's nearby, but it's enough to have give him a little bit of an identity. He'll work full time. Tom will work part time, and it will just work out really well. Mary's very, very happy, and she also tells him that they're pregnant, and it's very sweet. And
but she doesn't want to interrupt the unidentified thing.
Yeah, and it's a good sign that she doesn't. Yes. And there's some great lines later. And so yeah, that things are coming up. Mary and Henry.
Yeah, it's lovely.
I guess let's talk about Isabel. Isabel, her subplot, for whatever reason, decided to wait until now to get more complicated. So,
I mean, that, basically, again, there are things about this I find idiotic.
I think I can streamline it. I think I can do it. All right. So, basically, what happens is Larry initially invited Isabel to tea to talk about it, so that because he was forced to by his wife or whatever, so that he can get his father off of his hands. But then they, the Greys and Lord Merton, go up to London, and they cancel the tea and all that stuff. They keep Merton under lock and key and all that stuff. So, and Isabel is not allowed to even visit.
They push her out. They slam the door that is in her face. It's bad.
But before they even start doing that is when Lord Merton and Isabel kind of get closer, and he tells her that he has pernicious anemia, which is fatal. And so she gets very, very upset, and then she's like, well, now I want you back, now that you're dying. And so
I want to cheer for you because I love you, basically.
Yeah, so she finally, it's the kick in the pants she needed. And so once she tries to finally get back into his life, he is like, he's put under lock and key by the Greys, and because they want the house, and if he doesn't get married, they're guaranteed the house. And so unless he changes his will, if he figures anything out, so they try to keep her away, but Violet is like, well, if reason fails, try force. And so they
pushes her way in. I love this. Violet and Isabel go, and Violet pushes her way into the house, and she is loud enough that Dickie is upstairs and hears her. And he's like, well, you know, where have you been, Isabel? You haven't even come to visit. And she's like, they wouldn't let me in. And Violet intervenes. She's like, and we need to get you out of here. And Isabel's like, I'm going upstairs. You're coming to my house. I'm going to marry you. This shit's happening.
And you guys and the Greys can have your house, whatever. I don't care.
They get married. They do find out at the unspecified event that the pernicious anemia was an incorrect diagnosis, and he just has regular anemia and needs to eat more meat, basically.
More iron,
which is great, which means like a happily ever after kind of
thing. Eat some liver, dude. So I don't know what anemic people
do. I might have to speak personal tongue for that. It's like,
oh god. Again, those episodes are really fun. If you want to have a fun re-listen, they're good. So then I guess all that's left is Edith. So Edith has gotten to the point where she's very, very sad about Bertie. She understands why he broke things off. Obviously, it's her fault. But she is kind of now trying to figure her life out and see, like, okay, well, I'm thinking of putting Marigold in a school in London. I'm thinking of moving up there full time since the magazine's going really well. I want to have a life from this house so that I can... It was kind of what she was thinking at the beginning of the season, but it's more like, she's more proactive about it now because like she doesn't want to be constantly reminded of her sorrows and she kind of wants to build up her own life again. So while she's up in London, Mary finally gets this idea to try to put them, get them back together, her and Bertie. And so she has Rosamond take her out to the Ritz, and she gets Bertie to also go to the Ritz. But Bertie knows the reason why, obviously. Like, Mary called him and was like, hey, you wanted to meet with my sister? All right, meet her at the Ritz at this time. And so Edith comes in and she's like, "Oh my God, what are you doing here?" And he's just like, "I
Just
what?"
say this. Edith, when she comes in, has such an attitude, like, "Oh, you were so cruel to me." I'm like, and she's
Oh no,
angry
okay,
with
let
Murphy.
me.
I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, okay, the scene's kind of complicated, but I have complicated emotions about it. So she's like, "Birdie, I don't know what I'm doing here. You broke my heart." And she's like, "It's not that I blame you exactly, but that's just the truth." And that's what she says. But I'm just like, okay, but you were the one who withheld the information and that would have solved everything.
Yes, yes. I mean,
I
this,
don't know.
right. I
I
mean,
think at the very least
she's
she
at
should have.
fault in this.
Yeah,
She's at
you're the one
fault
at
in this,
fault.
and she's angry with him for being at a place where he, because she's like, "Oh, did you know I'm going to be here? I can't believe you showed up." And she's kind of snotty about it. It's like, what is wrong with you? You are in love with this man, and he's showing up because he's still in love with you too. And this is like the best thing that could possibly happen to you. What is wrong with you?
I think she's just confused about, like, because she's now being confronted by, like, the fact that she ruined this, and she is trying to deflect it, but then she's like, "Well, no, I don't blame you exactly, but my heart is still broken and all that stuff." And he's just like, "Well, I want you back." And she's like, "Well, nothing's changed. I still have Marigold. Like, I can't, that's not going to change anytime soon. Like, I'm not giving her up." And he's just like, "I don't want you to." And she's just like, "Well, what about your mother? What will she say?" And he's like, "I think we should keep it from my mother." And that, which is also a stupid idea. And
Yep.
she, because, well, his reasoning is that he feels like they would have to break ties with her, with his mother. And I'm like, okay. And
You're the Marquis of
no,
Slip.
it's at least tell your mother the
Yeah.
reason. It's just weird. And so she essentially, there's this one moment that's really, really, like, sweet. And she's like, "Well, you seem to have been doing a good job of, like, living without me lately." And he's like, "I've done a very bad job." And it's
Yeah.
so sad. And
It is.
I love him
It
so
gets
much.
cheery. It's very sweet. The performers here are fabulous.
Oh, it's great. And then she's like, "Well, if I do say," he's like, "I want you to marry me, and I want to be with you." And she's like, "If I say yes," which is a big if, "there will still be gossip. Like, there are still people out there who
Who
know the
knows?
truth." And he's like, "I'm ready to face it if you are." And he's like, and she's like, "Okay, again, this is exactly what would have happened if you had just told him in the first place."
Yeah, what the fuck?
I'm so pissed
This
at
is
Edith for doing that.
dumb.
And then later on, it's, oh, anyway. So they call Downton at, like, a really late hour, and Robert answers the phone, and he's just like, he goes to Cora in the bedroom and is just like, "You'll never guess what Edith called about." And she's like, "Oh, well, she's in prison for high treason.
Yeah,
She's literally
exactly.
anything but what actually is happening."
Yeah,
And
just
she's
cute.
like, she's back with Bertie, and they're going up to Brinkester Castle and inviting us so that they can announce the engagement and the date and all that stuff. And
Right.
of course they're super, super, super excited about it. And sorry, there were bugs in my room sometimes, like flying things. I just killed one. So
I know that makes you crazy, so that's okay.
yeah. Anyway, so they go up to Brinkester. Of course, it's gorgeous. Oh my God, it's
Yeah,
amazing.
it's
And
amazing.
they meet with Bertie's mother, and it's clear that they have not told her yet. And she kind of like is like, "Oh, I'm homophobic. I don't like that Peter was gay." And again, in all caps, I'm just like,
She's
"Peter
just
was
awful about it.
gay?"
Just
And she's
awful
like,
about
"Oh,
it.
well, his lifestyle wasn't exactly." And Bertie's like, "Listen, I don't want to
Just
talk about
stop.
this. Stop saying bad things about that man. He was my cousin and I loved him. Just leave him alone. We love an ally. Good for Birdie." And so they are talking about whether or not they should tell her. Edith one morning is just like, "All right, I need to tell her." And so she goes, tells her, and Birdie goes, and he's just like, "Well, I think her telling you actually, it was a shown of her courage and her, like, high regard for truth." And I'm like, "Yeah, well, but what about when she didn't tell you?" And then later on, like, she's still, his mother's still debating on whether or not she, like, agrees with the marriage. And then at the dinner where they're going to announce the marriage, she interrupts Bertie. It's kind of awkward, but then Robert's like, "Hey, no, if you don't speak up now, you're going to lose him forever." And so she finally is like, "Actually, I'll make the happy announcement. They're getting married, and we're very, very happy." And so they talk about it later, and she's like, I just wanted to say that I'm very glad that Edith was so honest. And I'm just like, she has not been honest up until this episode. Like, she has not told your son all the while that because obviously, I don't think that Edith mentioned that he didn't know, because he mentions that he didn't tell his mother that they broke up. So I'm just like, so you don't
There's
know this
not a
at
lot of
first.
honesty going on here, but
Who
okay.
cares? And so Edith and Bertie decide to have their wedding on New Year's Eve, and it's all very exciting. Rose comes into town, and I love seeing Rose and Atticus. Like, I love seeing Rose, like, being the, like, she has not changed really, but she's like still a little bit more mature. And Cora's just like, oh yeah, some things haven't changed, and it's a sign of your care for her. And Atticus is like, or my weakness, either way. Then all the stuff in the time jump happens. They get Bertie and Edith get married. They're going off to their honeymoon, and it's all very, very sweet.
All of
So
that.
yeah.
All of that. So yeah, it's very, very sweet. The fact that people treat it appropriately and don't interrupt or upstage or do any of the things that could have been done is pretty awesome. And overall, I just feel like that was handled really, really well.
Yeah.
So, what were your best parts of this episode? Or
Edith and Bert.
maybe it's easier. Like, were there worse parts of this episode?
There were.
Okay.
Okay,
What were
best
your.
parts though. Yeah,
Okay.
there are a lot more best parts though.
Okay.
Edith and Bertie, Mary and Henry, Andy. I really like Andy. Like, he's finally like speaking up for himself and being like, hey Daisy, how are you? And then Daisy's being a bitch. Yeah.
I still hate Daisy. It's amazing. We actually need to do a recap of characters, like for the whole episode,
Fine,
whole
we'll do
series,
that
I guess.
in a minute.
Yeah.
Sorry, really quickly. I'm just adding this worst part really quick. Okay. Edith and Bertie, Mary and Henry, Andy, Thomas. I'm glad he gets a happy ending. I never thought I would have said that.
Right.
Molesley, good for Molesley. Rose and Atticus. I love seeing them again. Isabel for fighting for Dickie eventually. She finally got there. And Violet as well. Robert and Cora, and Anna being happy.
I agree with all that. I didn't include Andy in my best parts, but I agree. I think Andy is a great character, and I think that he
I agree.
is great. So I have obviously Edith and Bertie, Mary and Henry, Thomas and Carson, Anna and Bates, Violet, Isabel, and Dickie. I didn't put Tom Branson on here in part
Oh
because
yeah.
they sidelined him in this last episode and kind of like
Yeah, I
they try to shunt him off like with the editor, and I hate
Yeah,
that.
that's what I was going to say. Like in like the Brooklyn's episode and in this episode, they try to like pair him up with the editor. And so I'm just kind of, and then later on they kind of forget the editor exists. Like in the movies, they forget she exists. So he just is like paired up with somebody else. And so I'm just kind of like, okay, well then what was the point? Like, I think that they could have made a go of it if they added the editor earlier. If what I think they
Or
should
just
have done,
gave her some substance, right?
well,
Like,
yeah, but I think they should have just made her the initial editor at the very beginning of the season, where Edith was like, oh, I'm going to give this editor position to the girl. And then she like is developed over time, and Tom gets to know her, all that stuff. They don't have to end up like together, but like we'll hint at something. I don't know.
right.
It's
But
weird.
I mean, it's all pretty stupid, and I will though, and kind of ham-handed how that is handled. And I have to
Yeah.
apologize. For the ASMR, someone is doing yard work outside my window, and I apologize. It's a thing. But in any case, the issue that I have is that, like, even like when Edith goes and throws her bouquet, like the editor catches it, like, ooh, this is gonna be a thing with her and Tom Branson, and it's kind
It's the last episode.
of like, yeah, this is the last episode, and you're. And I would have liked to have seen greater closure for him because he is such a good character. I mean, even Violet's like, oh wow, he's a really good character. He's the only one with sense, those kinds of things. And we're just not seeing him fulfilled. And I feel like that isn't great. But that's in it should have been in a worse part. I didn't write it down anywhere, so I just put it somewhere.
Yeah. What were your worst parts?
So worst parts. Danka, I hate Danka. Daisy, Birdie's mother, Crookshank, Thomas's new job taking up so much time, Dickie having anemia taking up so much time, and high regard for truth. That line really, really bugs me.
Right. Oh, hey, I'm smarter than I thought. I did write down no real resolution for Branson. Danka and Larry and his wife. Those were my worst parts. I didn't say much about, you know, Atticus and Rose because they weren't a big part of this, but I liked them in this. But those were my worst parts. So what was your grade for this episode?
It's an A. It's not as good as the finale for season two. No, it's not. But it's very, very, very good. Yeah. I was considering doing an A plus, and then I remembered the season two finale, and then I was like, no, I can't say it's on par with that. I can't. In good conscience, I can't.
No. Mm-mm. It's not. And it is, it's a solid A episode. It's well written. It concludes a lot of storylines. It doesn't waste tons of time, although I agree with you, the whole Dickie and anemia thing, especially since you're basically introducing it in this episode and resolving it in this episode. It's kind of like, why? So there's a lot of stupid involved in some of these storylines, and the fact that they spent a lot of time on this Isabel and Dickie storyline and didn't give Tom Branson more is disappointing. So and a lot of time on fucking Daisy. I'm sorry, just bleh. Okay, whatever.
Well, before we get into like character stuff, let's do a ranking of the seasons, because this is kind of where things might change for us. It's been kind of obvious in the past. I'll go ahead and go first. I think I know what my ranking is. I think
I know what mine is. Go ahead.
All right. It's season. Oh, shit. Season two. number one is season two. This is from best to worst. Season two. What have I said in the past? Is it season three or season one? I think season one, honestly. Season three. I think maybe season four. No. Yeah. Season four, season six, then season five. I can interchange season six and season four. I think actually, yeah, no, I think I'd like season six more than season four.
I do too. So the way I look at it is season two, then season one, then season three, and then it's six, four, and five.
Yeah, I agree. That's mine as well.
And a lot of it is like all the seasons with Matthew, and then... and then we can, you know, and at least it gets to be happy in a season. So that's more like it. So, yeah. And Mary gets to be happy. There's a resolution to the Mary love thing that still calls back enough to Matthew that makes me happy. So, yeah, that's the way I look at it. Are there characters, favorites, not favorites? I mean, Daisy is definitely not a favorite.
Okay, well, let's do our least favorites first, so because that's easy to get out of the way. Yeah, Daisy easily became a very big one that I didn't like. And I never really liked Daisy. I liked William, and then Daisy was a conduit for William. So I was just like, sure. But then she was a dick to William for a while, and I was just like, I don't care about you. But then I liked Mr. Mason, and so it kind of like redeemed that section in my good graces. But then Daisy became an awful person again. So that was not great. If we're including like kind of minor characters, obviously Mr. Green is the least favorite because he ruined Anna's character.
I don't even consider him a character. I just consider him a source of evil.
Yes.
But I have to include like stupid prison guy.
No, fine. No, I won't go that far, but at least he had a name. So obviously we're gonna have to say Ethel.
Danka
is also a waste of time. Edna, an awful waste of time. Oh, Bunting. Also awful waste of time. Let's see, is there anybody else that I would put on my shit list?
O'Brien and Larry. Crookshanks, Larry, and O'Brien. Yes.
O'Brien got funny in the third season, but then she left and I was like, yeah, no, you're just awful. Never mind. <You're> just awful. She was funny for a minute. Yeah. And Thomas would have if he hadn't been kind of redeemed in this season.
Right. And
I think Thomas' first couple seasons, though, is enough
complexity that he would be more in that middle. There's a bunch of middle people, and I don't even want to talk about them. I want to talk about
at least them. He's gay. At least he has a reason to, for shame or something. Well, for shame at the time. O'Brien's just a bitch.
He has complexity, which I think a lot of the other mid-range characters did not.
Didn't kill a baby.
Right. So let's talk about favorites, because again, I think that covers the major worst characters.
Mm.
Favorite characters. Who would you say is your favorite?
It's kind of hard because they all have their ups and downs, obviously.
I have one, Matthew.
I was going to say Matthew. And the thing is, like, he does act like a little bit of a doofus sometimes and a dick. A little
bit. And a whiner.
But the thing is, he made everything better. Mm-hmm. I think that, and the thing is, I want to say, like, Mary with Matthew or, yes, like, whatever. But Mary, like, after Matthew, there are some good moments and a lot of kind of meh. But it's just, I think Matthew.
I'd like Mary. I would put Mary in a favorites category.
I think I would put her in a favorites category as well, especially when she's with Matthew. The first like three seasons, Mary's great. She has some.
I love her when she's flirty with the guys. Yeah. I love her
with Henry.
With Henry. I love her with Charles Blake. So Mary's a favorite. I mean, even when she's being god awful bitchy, she's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I would put Mary as a favorite.
Tom became a favorite. I like Tom, especially in the last season. Yeah. I think that he grows a lot, and I think that his character development, minus the Bunting era, is really, mm-hmm, really good.
Yeah. Well, I think the Bunting era, although not necessary, shows some character on his behalf. So I love Tom. I think the last three seasons redeem him more, but I love Tom. Or last four seasons, I guess. Well, no, that's not even fair. But yeah, it's even going back to season three. So yeah, he starts getting better in season three. So screw it. But although he has some god awful ones in season three too.
Here's the thing. I want to say Sybil's a favorite, but she really didn't make that much of a mark this time.
No.
She's really a bit wishy-washy. I liked her in season one enough, but season two kind of made her a bit too wishy-washy for me. Season three, she was just like, well, I'm from Ireland now, and so I'm with Tom now, so that's my entire personality. And I'm just trying to calm him down from his like random tendencies.
I agree. I don't think Sybil is a big plus character for me. I love Cora.
I love Cora too. Except for her Bricker era. She's a bit stupid during that era.
Yeah, she's very stupid during that era. I love Rose, except in
her, I love Rose after in season after I like Jack Rose Ross. In season five.
Yeah. I love her after Jack Ross.
Specifically after her, like during her London season and after.
Yeah. I love
Violet. I think she has a lot of things that she obviously has a lot of issues and all that stuff, but I really do love Violet. She is a source of a lot of comedy and a lot of light and levity and all that stuff. Robert, I think he's a touch and go character. I think that he sometimes just is kind of clueless, but I like him a lot towards the end. For the most part, I like him a lot.
Overall, Robert is a good character. I think that, you know, he treats his staff well. I think that, you know, he's generally a good guy. And despite the failings of Carson in the last couple of seasons, I love Carson.
I do love Carson.
And
there are some failings with like Mrs. Hughes, but I really love Mrs. Hughes, especially when she's like talking to like Thomas and like trying to figure him out, right, and like.
And she gives Tom Branson great advice over the years. I mean, I think Mrs. Hughes is a really good character. I love Mrs. Patmore.
I love Mrs. Patmore.
Yeah, I think she's just really great overall. Though, you know, she gets a little dramatic, but I love her overall. I love like Mr. William. Mason and William.
Oh, I do like William. He was not long for this world, but he was there. I like Andy. Albert is too much of a doofus for me.
Yeah.
Jimmy is too much of a dick. I never really cared for Ivy.
They're all kind of middle of the road characters for me, but I like Andy a lot.
I liked Andy. Who was I thinking of? Crap, I've lost my train of thought.
Anna. Anna, before she gets raped and then before she gives birth.
And there are a lot of things I love about Bates, but I consider him middle of the road, which I know is probably.
He's pretty middle of the road for me, too.
He's middle of the road for me.
It's like a him with Anna. They're always like kind of picked up. And whenever one is kind of down, the other is also. So,
right. I like things about Bates, but I don't think he's a favorite for me.
No.
I don't go, oh my God, it's so great he's on the screen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Rosamund.
Rosamund's not one of the great for me.
She's middle of the road. I'm just kind of naming characters now. Oh, let's talk about Charles Blake. I like Charles Blake.
I know you do.
He's pretty middle of the road, but I like him.
He's middle of the road for me. Tony Gilliam, middle of the road for me.
Oh, I love Henry.
I love Henry.
And Birdie.
And Birdie, yes, I agree. Honestly, Edith is still middle of the road for me. She is not somebody I love. I want to, but I don't.
I want to as well. I think I feel bad for Edith sometimes. Like when I think back to like season 3 when she was jilted at the altar, I feel bad. Whenever like I think about her
Anthony Strelian.
Anthony Strelian, I hate him.
Yes, worst character.
I liked Michael Gregson. He's a middle of the road character for me, but I liked him enough.
I agree.
I liked Edith being happy with Birdie. There was always the undercurrent of like obviously she hasn't told him about Marigold. I didn't like that, but I
hate it.
Yeah, Edith, I like that, and she gets a happy ending. I like Birdie. I like Birdie with Edith and Edith with Birdie, but I can't say that they were together long enough to redeem her in my eyes, especially considering she doesn't tell him about it. So she's middle of the road for me. She's up there, but she's not quite.
I love Atticus. I love Atticus's mom.
And I love Atticus and his mom. Lord Cinderby is down there. And Susan's down there too.
Oh,
I
like Susan's dreadful. Huh?
I like Shrimpy.
Shrimpy. Yeah, Shrimpy's great. That's pretty much it, isn't it? As far as
big what about Isabel? Isabel's kind of a middle of the road character for
me. She's middle of the road to me.
Lord Merton. I don't really care that much.
Right. And again, they got so much airtime. It's like, my God, why?
Well, Gwen is a middle of the road character for me as well.
Right. I mean, she's.
Jane's a middle of the road character. I didn't care that she had an affair with Robert. I didn't care about that. Oh, Lavinia. Yeah. I liked Lavinia. She kind of got, she's a middle of the road character, but liked her.
She's middle of the road character, but no one can hate Lavinia.
Dr. Clarkson's a middle of the road character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Russian formerly known as Prince is down there.
Yes.
So he's, the Russian
he's not he's success. Still middle of the road for me. I mean, it's kind of like Charlie,
it's what he led to, the whole like
Charlie bucket
with the Russians that didn't care about
the other Charlie.
Oh God, not Grig. Oh, he's down there for sure. He's down in the depths of hell. I don't care about him or the cheerful Charlies. I don't.
I know.
Oh my God.
It's just funny.
I hate it. I hate it so much.
Charlie Bucket / Greg.
Charlie Bucket. Does he have a golden ticket? Like, what was.
What? One and one. I don't know. I couldn't remember his name, so I filled it in.
I just said it. And then you said it. I know. Tony Gilliam is also a middle of the road character.
Though I liked him generally.
I liked him generally too. He was hot. And so, I like Charles Blake as well. He was cool. I think that's about it.
It is. You know, I find it interesting. This is just, again, one of those asides that the girls don't have girlfriends, like girls that they hang out with.
Except for Rose. Rose hangs out with people.
Yeah, but you don't see her like. I mean, she has, like, the friend who is,
Madeline.
Right, Madeline. But we see her for a very short period of time. But we don't really see Mary or Edith. I mean, Mary will say, oh, we came out together, or we had the same garbage, or whatever. It's like, you don't see them having friends.
And I guess they just didn't want to have to develop more characters.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But it's interesting to me that, you know, that is not even touched on, really. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Also, Mrs. Levinson, she's been over it. I don't care.
Whatever. So, all told, I would say that this is a great show to watch.
I
recommend it. I think it is very well written. I think it's well structured. I do think that there are big chunks that you can probably not rewatch if you've watched this before.
Season five.
And I think,
Some of season five.
Other than the last couple episodes of season five, you can skip it. You know, things like
you'll
that.
You'll get the gist.
You'll get the gist very easily, and you'll get the good parts. So I feel like there are really good things about this show, and there are good historical elements that are well worth diving into. And if nothing else, it can spark your looking into, you know, the different time periods and things like that. So cool. I'm glad we did this. I am really looking forward to doing Queen Charlotte just for fun.
It's been a while. Okay. When did we watch it? We watched it together.
It was in the spring.
Yeah, we watched it together during the spring. We binged it in like 2 days, which was a lot of fun.
Yes.
Because we had nothing else better to do. And was it during spring break? No, it was after. Maybe
it was after.
It was out for like a couple weeks. So I don't know. It's been a while. So I'm really excited too. I'm really excited. And now that I've like read the book as well, I'm like, it's not like the book was written in tandem with the show. And so it's not like it diverges much from it. It takes out some of the subplots I don't like, which is awesome.
Yay!
And it kind of expands a little bit on some that I like as well. It's good. I enjoyed Queen Charlotte. I'm excited to rewatch it. I'm curious to see how I feel this time around, but I'm sure I'm still going to like it. But like, there are certain things I really didn't like about it.
Right. Some and certain may not plot. Be as big of a deal because some of them felt like shockers at the time. And now, of course, we've seen it, so it's not shocking.
Yeah.
But it is well worth, if you're into Bridgerton and you haven't watched Queen Charlotte, watch it and listen, because I don't want to give, they're going to be spoilers, and I know there will be. If you haven't watched it, if you've watched Bridgerton and not watched Queen Charlotte, which we originally were talking about not watching it.
Yeah, we were really considering it. I'm glad we did too, because oh my God, King George.
Yeah, no, we're getting to that. Stop.
I just said, oh my God, King George. And also, she's gorgeous. My God.
Well, they are lovely, lovely people. And I'm looking forward to watching the lovely people again. So, so we are looking forward to having you join us for Queen Charlotte. We hope that you enjoyed our podcast on Downton Abbey. And share with your friends. Join us going forward. And
cheers.